the international charity group, the wealth of the world's 10 richest men doubled from $700 billion to $1.5 trillion during the outbreak, which has contributed to the death of at least 21,300 people per day globally. The report warns, "We entered 2022 with unprecedented concern, insisting that the current global state of extreme inequality is a form of economic violence against the world's poorest people and poorest nations." Highlighting the COVID-19 vaccine divide as a key precedent, it further underlined, "Millions of people would still be alive today if they had had a vaccine, but they are dead, denied a chance while big pharmaceutical corporations continue to hold monopoly control of these technologies." The report also emphasized structural and systemic policy and political choices are skewed in favor of the richest and the most powerful, resulting in harm to the majority of ordinary people around the world. The report further calculates that 252 men have more wealth than all 1 billion women and girls in Africa and Latin America and the Caribbean combined, while 10 of the world's wealthiest men own more than the least affluent 3.1 billion people. Additionally, as the rich got a whole lot richer during the pandemic, the incomes of 99% of humanity suffered miserably. It also stressed that growing inequality made worse by the pandemic is sure to cause additional tensions, resentments, and further complicate nations' responses to climate change, to economic disparities, and social instabilities. The Oxfam report underlined, "These present-day divides are directly linked to historical legacies of racism, including slavery and colonialism." It further notes that since 1995, the world's top 1%ers have captured nearly 20 times more of global wealth than the bottom 50%, insisting that the pandemic has made things much worse. According to the Oxfam report, the wealth of billionaires climbed even more, and a new billionaire was minted every 26 hours since the pandemic began compared to the last 14 years. The Oxfam report noted the chief executive officers of COVID vaccine developers Moderna and BioNTech made billions in 2020 as a result of the pandemic, adding that at the same time, the vast majority of the population remains worse off after losing income during COVID-19, and 160 million more people fell into poverty worldwide. Meanwhile, Oxfam argues that governments have the power to radically change course and blunt economic violence at its roots by laying the foundation for a more equal world. Oxfam's executive director, Gabriela Bucher, emphasized, "It has never been so important to start righting the violent wrongs of this obscene inequality by clawing back elites' power and extreme wealth, including through taxation, getting that money back into the real economy and to save lives." The Oxfam report says a good start is to impose a one-off windfall tax on the COVID-19 gains of the 10 richest men, which would generate $812 billion. It then pointed out these resources could pay to make enough vaccines for the entire world and fill financing gaps in climate measures, universal health, and social protection, and efforts to address gender-based violence in over 80 countries. The report explained, Even after the tax, the world's 10 richest men would still be billionaires and, as a group, would have increased their wealth by $8 billion from the start of the pandemic. Gabriela Bucher further argued, if these 10 men were to lose 99.999% of their wealth tomorrow, they would still be richer than 99% of all people on this planet. Oxfam's report is usually released just prior to the World Economic Forum annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland, but the gathering of the world's richest and most powerful has been postponed again this year due to the coronavirus pandemic. Recently, the World Economic Forum released its Global Risk Report 2022, warning that the lopsided economic recovery from the pandemic, much of which has relied on the rollout of vaccinations, has deepened divisions within and between nations.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
Muslim lady.
Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, dear listeners, my brothers and sisters from every single corner in the world, wherever you are, I hope everything is fine and you're doing well. This is IRB English Radio, and I am Asma. I have the privilege to be your host. Today I'm at your service, and I'm going to share some priceless moments with you. Here with us, we have a very dear guest, Miss Ahmadi, and I would be very happy if she introduces herself to us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamu alaikum to you and to dear listeners and followers of this noble program.
Yes.
I'm Sayyida Fatima Ahmadi, the lecturer of the university, and my studies is around the social studies and women's studies. I'm here at your service, and we will talking about the importance role of the women in development of a country.
Yes, that's very true. Welcome to your program. We're here with Muslim Lady. Okay, before we proceed, I would like to join everyone in celebrating the Revolution Day, which is just around the corner. May Allah grant our country the blessings of peace and stability and preserve our unity and its strength. So, happy Revolution Day to all the Iranian out there. And just for those who have no idea about Iranian Revolution, I would tell you just the very gist of the story. About 43 years ago, on February 1979, Iranian people put an end to the monarchic system, and a new era of Islamic Republic has started in the history of Iranian nation. From that day on, every year we celebrate all the labors our heroes undertook to bring us honor and independence. So that's the whole story. Now, speaking of revolution, in this program, which is generally concerned with Muslim Lady and her issues, reminds us of great women in history. Now, we have heard a lot about mothers, sisters, and wives. I mean, women in different roles who shouldered such burdens during the revolution and afterwards during the war. They actually acted like real heroes. Shall we just talk about the role of women before and after the revolution?
First, I have to thank you because of this beautiful and brief introduction of the story of the revolution of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Of course, today we're going to talk about the development and the role of the women in development of the countries, and especially our own country, Iran. You know, before that, let's start to talk about the issue of the importance of research about the historical role of women in the economy. Because women make up half of the population, they can play an important role in the country's economy. It can be boldly said that without women's participation in the economy, development and construction are not possible. Mm-hmm. Especially since women entered the field of economic activities earlier than men, and in early societies, women have a more prominent role in the economy.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Very funny.
From the very, very far history, we see that women's role even was more prominent than men.
So they were the pioneers
in
economy.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
Let's go for a little break and then we'll be back. Thank you for listening to us and giving your ears and attention. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So you're listening to IRB English Radio, and this is Muslim Lady. We're talking about the role of women in history and in society, the burdens they shoulder throughout the history.
You know, in developing countries, most women work in agriculture and related industries, in addition to domestic work, and work about 16 to 17 hours a day, and are directly involved in wealth creation. You know, in other words, we can say that raising children by women is a kind of creating work wealth.
So they have double of job to
do. Exactly. Exactly. Therefore, considering this important issue, it is very appropriate to conduct studies in this regard and to take basic steps for the growth and promotion of women and the elimination of their problems.
So we talked about the role of women in the economy. This might come to our mind that is it possible to ignore the role and work of women in a society? Now, there comes a question that tells, what elements are important in each country's socioeconomic growth?
Well, you know, although a country's potential for socioeconomic growth and development depends to a large extent on natural resources such as soil, water, mines, and raw materials, and the amount of investment, most development economists believe that what really characterizes and flows socioeconomic development is the human resources of that country, not its capital and natural resources. You know, the capital and natural resources of the country are subordinate factors of production, while human beings are the factors that exploit capital and natural resources, build socioeconomic organizations, and regulate development. The importance of the role of women is clarified here. A very big question about this role
is the role of women in economy.
Exactly, exactly. Here we can say that the role of the women are clarified here because, you know, as half of human resources who are women, and women are not only the subject and goal of any kind of development, but also the agent of advancing its important goals. They also, in terms of achieving goals, more equitable distribution of incomes and increasing the well-being and standard of living of families, will have positive effect. Of course, without achieving the necessary skills, knowledge and technologies and their optimal use, economic progress and development is not possible.
So we can see the role of woman is such an idealistic and very much big of a role she has in society and in economic growth. As we talked about the role of women in economy and in society, and we talked that she is undertaking so much of roles and so much of responsibilities, we could ask that, what is the role of women in socioeconomic situation of our country? Iran. Many things has changed before the revolution until now. We see a big difference in women before the revolution and then after the revolution.
You know, it's nice to say that, you know, from the very beginning, the women had role in the development of the country from the very beginning, even before the revolution.
Exactly.
But, you know, this role became so much effective after the revolution because of the most and effective attention that the government put on women.
And they have more freedom to act.
Exactly. Yes. And, you know, the way was clarified because now they know their exact role in the family and in the society.
Yes.
Therefore, they could interfere in both parts. And, you know, the leaders of this government ask them that, please stay and take care of your role in the family because the children that you're raising and the husband that you're taking care of are the most important part of the society.
Yes.
But you can have some role and take part
some
in the society in a very beautifully, under a very special Islamic rules. They could have these two roles together and more effective after the revolution.
They can do both simultaneously.
Yeah, exactly.
Millions of Iranians across the country have begun 10 days of celebrations marking the anniversary of the victory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution that put an end to the monarchy of the Pahlavi regime in Iran. You are listening to IRIB English Radio and the dialogue between Sister Asma and Sister Ahmadi on the status of women in the revolution.
Generally, I can say that, you know, our country is considered as one of the developing countries where about the 50% of the population is women. And women's activities are not hidden from anyone, either in household chores or in office jobs. But due to the lack of awareness and knowledge in this field, women's work is not given enough value. You know, I think that in all societies it is the same.
Yes.
And it doesn't depend on revolution, before or after. Always, you know, a very small, you know, lack of awareness towards the women's, you know, role causes this kind of, you know, lack of value of the women's work.
Yes.
And especially in productive and economic work. Women's work is ignored, of course. With further studies and reflection, we will find that women alongside men have historically contributed directly in wage work outside the home, or indirectly in non-wage work at home to family income and national income.
Yes, that's very true. And we see a lot of women that they are the only responsible person in the family. So she's a mother and she has to be a father. She has to do everything at the very same time. And they're doing that in a very amazing way.
Yeah, so true.
According to what you said, and based on what we see in society, we could claim, and it would not be wrong to say that the role of woman, a Muslim woman, in her family and in her society is no way to be ignored.
Yeah, it is noticing. I really like to add this, that ignoring the work and economic activity of women is removing half of the active population in the economy from the field of work. And it shows that achieving construction and economic prosperity is not possible without women.
Exactly.
Due to being in the period after the victory of the Islamic Revolution and the end of the imposed war, as well as the country being in the process of construction and economic prosperity, conditions must be provided so that all people, no difference, men, women, can play their critical role in achieving goals. Therefore, one of the most important issues is to give importance to women in order to find their true place in the political, economic, and social activities of society based on Islam, of course, and the Quran.
And we give them some insurance for their future.
Yeah, sure.
This woman is going to get old one day after all.
Yeah, sure.
So she has to be sure of her future.
Yeah, sure. And Islam in this field can be very helpful and useful. It shows the way to the women.
Yes.
that, yeah, that as I told you, you know, when you move under the light of Islam, it gives you some guidance that it is ignorable. We cannot ignore it, non-ignorable,
true.
Yeah. And, yeah, true, what you say is correct.
Time flies so fast and we do not have further more of time. Therefore, I would like to thank you for listening to us. I hope you enjoyed this program. Thank you very much. Take care until another session. May Allah protect you.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return. La ilaha
the Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Salam. And since we are on the threshold of the meritorious month of Rajab, on the first day of which happens to be the blessed birthday of Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, the 5th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, here we present you a beautiful saying from him to contemplate upon. You are the son of 3 days. Your birthday, the day on which you will be taken to your grave, and the day on which you will be resurrected to meet your Lord. That will be surely a horrible day, depending on one's deeds.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Stunning light shows and hanging lanterns have illuminated cities across China to welcome the new lunar year, also called the Spring Festival. The city of Zigong has taken the spotlight with a sea of lanterns, turning it into a scene straight out of a fairy tale. The city is famous for lantern making and brings a festive mood this time around every year. The lanterns are usually made in all kinds and shapes, including legendary creatures representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, which is decorated vividly on special couplets. The New Year festivities officially begin on Tuesday and will continue for 15 days. The Lunar New Year is considered the largest migration of people in the world, as millions travel back to their towns and villages to mark the event.
Sub-zero temperatures in the Midwestern U.S. haven't held anglers back from participating in the world's largest charitable ice fishing contest. Some 10,000 people from across the world gathered in the state of Minnesota to put their ice fishing skills to test. They dug thousands of holes in Gull Lake in a matter of hours. Some $200,000 in prizes were up for grabs in the contest. The volunteer-led annual event has so far raised about $4 million for 67 charities since it was first held in 1991. Beryl Carr is a special volunteer at a hospital in London. What makes her special, you might wonder? Well, the fact that she celebrated her 100th birthday last month. Carr has been volunteering in Ealing Hospital for more than 18 years. She works in the hospital's cafe and says her work is her lifeline. This incredible 100-year-old lady says she enjoys helping those who are not as fortunate as she is, and that she has no intentions of retiring. The hospital staff say her presence has been very motivating.
Many of us look at her. She's always got a smile on her face, a swagger as she walks. And you come back from a clinic or a ward round, you're absolutely tired, and she just inspires you as soon as you see her.
Even the coronavirus pandemic has not stopped Carr from volunteering. Born in a nearby town, Carr says she moved back to the neighborhood more than two decades ago after the death of her husband. When asked about the secret to her long and healthy life, she refused to answer, saying she's not planning on revealing that secret. A surprise in a Chinese zoo ahead of the Lunar New Year. 15 rare golden tigers make debut in front of excited fans. A large group of visitors gathered in China's Yellow River Delta Zoo to watch the rare animals. This zoo is the largest breeding base for golden species of tigers across China. The animals are being strictly protected amid fear surrounding their extinction. The golden tigers are a variant of Bengali tigers with rare color variations, including black stripes. They are no longer extant in the wild.
The most powerful telescope ever built in the world is now at its final destination in space. After traveling for nearly 1 month, NASA's James Webb Space Telescope has reached its final parking spot in space, which is approximately a million miles away from Earth. The mission of the tennis court-sized telescope is to explore the cosmos and better understand the early days of the universe. The $10 billion telescope will also carefully monitor faraway exoplanets and study the atmospheres of planets outside our solar system. It's more advanced than NASA's iconic Hubble telescope. streets in the Taiwanese capital are decorated vividly to welcome the Year of the Tiger beginning on February the 5th. Residents are using tiger sculptures and totems to adorn the streets of Taipei. Shops are booming as people head out to buy special couplets ahead of the new year, also called the Spring Festival. Many are hoping they can completely defeat COVID-19 this year, as celebrations were scaled down due to the pandemic last year. The Chinese New Year is celebrated by almost 2 billion people across the world, though mainly in Asia. There are 12 animals representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, a symbol of strength and power. The National Zoo in Washington is now home to a new quill-covered resident, the second offspring of a porcupine family. Zoo staff reported the birth of the porker pet earlier this month during a snowstorm. They say they are awaiting a DNA analysis to reveal more information about the baby porcupine. Its brother is now 4 years old. The two siblings are the fourth generation of this family to live in the zoo's mammal house. These animals are born with the ability to climb and look almost identical until they are 6 months old. Natives of South America, these creatures are one of the 18 porcupine species that exist in the world today. The house in Colombia has become a hotspot for tourists. It's built in a unique way, and if you want to enter the house, you have to first walk on the ceiling leading to the door. The upside-down house is named Casa Loca and is located in Guatavita, a short distance from the capital, Bogota. Tourists can be seen walking around taking pictures of this exceptional structure. Many say it fills them with joy to visit such places. Some tourists say this has provided them a chance to gain momentum, some relief from the struggles of the pandemic.
We've come from a pandemic. We've emerged from a lockdown. So this helps people have a moment of relaxation with the novelty that we did not have. You have fun while snapping photos. It puts your mind at ease.
The Austrian creator of Casa Loca says he first got the idea to build a house when he was visiting a similar place in his country back in 2015. He says his grandchildren were stunned by the creation, and that's why he decided to make an upside-down house in Colombia, where he lives now. He says people initially thought he was mad, but he decided to accomplish his plan anyway. The pandemic slowed him down a bit, but he proudly inaugurated the place 3 weeks ago.
Iran has won the first title in team category of the 20th Pan Pacific Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Championship. Saman Kujuri has more.
Talented Iranian children have ranked first in team category of the 20th Pan-Pacific Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Association Global Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Championships, which was held online. Children in five different age groups, including age 5 to 7 as Group A, 8 to 9 Group B, 10 to 11 Group C, 12 to 14 Group D, and 15 or older in Group E, annually attend the contest solving multiple math equations, including division, multiplication, square root, cube root, fractions, time, and etc. 572 students from 21 member states participated at the event.
This year, Iranian students have won the title of Champion of the Champions in two categories. Moreover, they won titles in all categories, including Champion of Champions titles, Champion titles, First Winners, and the Second Winner titles. In 2023, Iran will host the 22nd edition of the Pan-Pacific Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Association Global Abacus and Mental Arithmetic Championships.
The Smart Kids Institute holds a national competition annually in August to select members of the Iranian team for attending the PALMA Global Abacus Championships. Children from 17 to 13 years of age take part in the competition to solve some 7 mathematical test sheets using abacuses.
I am 12 years old. I have won the first title in this round of the international competitions. I have been practicing with abacus for 4 years. In the competitions, we had to solve multiple math equations, including division, multiplication, square root, and etc.
My math teacher encouraged me to learn abacus 5 years ago. Abacus and mental arithmetic skills had great impact on my mental growth and helped me a lot in my math lessons.
The championship, organized by a non-profit organization established in 1999, is an example of what can be achieved with early intervention in abacus math and mental arithmetic education.
The purpose of the competition is to allow for observation of mental arithmetic skills from countries around the world and to promote related education to find new talents in this field. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Traveling around the world is a wish a lot of people have, but never actually get the chance. However, the Belgian-British girl has achieved that feat at only 19. Zora Rutherford flew back home on Thursday to a crowd made up of family members, friends, fans, and journalists. She completed her odyssey after just over 5 months, traveling over 52,000 kilometers. Zora is the youngest female in the world to fly around the globe. She achieved this using a microlight aircraft, which weighs only 325 kilograms and has very low fuel consumptions. That's absolutely amazing. Let's take a listen.
Right, the plane obviously is a bad for the environment. I'm not trying to claim that it is. But I have chosen one of the best aircraft to do it with. The fuel consumption is amazing. For this whole trip, it's used the same amount of fuel as a Boeing uses in about 10 minutes for the whole trip around the world, which I think puts things into perspective. Obviously, it is bad, but I'm really trying to minimize my impact as much as possible.
Zora says the scariest part of her trip was flying over the frozen expanse of Siberia, a place with no human habitation close by. The teen adventurer also had to deal with different countries' health restrictions. Zora had to take multiple PCR tests on her journey, while China's COVID-related regulations meant she could not use the country's airspace. Now, Zora says she is glad she can stay in one place for a few months. Who knows what her next adventure will be? In the world of art, a Japanese artist named Sachi is creating incredibly realistic felted wool portraits of cats. Sachi calls her artworks Wakuneko, which directly translates to frame cat. Her work is highly popular and she has more than 600,000 followers on different social media platforms. Each portrait takes a whopping 1 month to complete. The crafting process starts with Sachi looking at dozens of photos of the cat she wants to replicate. Then she prepares the required materials before preparing the foundation and mounts the felt onto it. The most difficult part of the job is making the subject's eyes. According to Sachi, it is also the most special stage.
I think that the moment when the cat's spirit enters into the artwork can be presented through the eyes. In that sense, I have been very particular about how to make the eyes.
Sachi's portraits have inspired people around the world to adopt homeless cats. Now she hopes to hold an exhibition showing various cats, including ones with physical handicaps, in order to inspire more adoptions of shelter cats.
Special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program, today's special. Our topic is laziness in the view of Islam. I invite you to be with this episode of today's special.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. I'd be lost without you. You're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny. You're my revenue. You're the reason that I breathe. You are all that I believe.
We open the calendar. Today, Wednesday, is the 13th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of February, 2022nd of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Taha, verses 41 to 44.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
And I produced you for myself.
اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري.
Go, you and your brother, with my signs, and do not slacken in my remembrance.
اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى.
Go, both of you, to Pharaoh. Indeed, he has transgressed.
فقولا له قولا لينا لعله يتذكر أو يخشى.
And speak to him with gentle speech, that perhaps he may be reminded or fear Allah.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Allah informs Moses that He has chosen him for His revelation. Now that everything has been prepared and all necessary means have been provided with Moses, addressing both him and his brother, Allah says, "Go, you and your brother." So in order to strengthen their spirits and that they increase in their efforts and endeavor, He adds, "And be not remiss in remembrance of me." Since remission and abandoning sharp conclusiveness may destroy the result of all efforts, therefore they must stand firmly and fear of no adventure.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, Ya Mubdi' al-Akwan. Ilayka qalban yadhubu hubban bin nuri wal-Iman. Ilayka qalban yadhubu hubban bin nuri wal-Iman.
Laziness in the view of Islam is the topic for this episode. Islam is a perfect religion. In Islam, all of life problems have been arranged and given solution which contains truth for all human beings. And these teachings will never contradict any novel invention and theories invented by men. Islam, since long ago, has stepped forward and never will it be left behind by man's innovation and advancement forever. Therefore, how does Islam view the phenomenon of laziness of men? Islam, since its dawn, has settled some warning signs for it, and Islam does pay great attention to it. For example, there is supplication to be freed from poverty, bankruptcy, and debt. O Allah, I seek your protection from weakness and laziness. In fact, it contains no specific demands such as job, plenty of sustenances, a lot of income, nor wealth. Instead, we are guided to invoke to Allah to be freed from laziness.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with idleness in Islam. Another one is that, in our lifetime, we have to be attentive to our own fate, to our own activities, and to our the schedule we have prepared for ourselves. So nobody is expected to be neglectful of performing prayers or, for example, doing mandatory ritual deeds and so on. All of these indicate that people are expected to get away from idleness as much as possible. Here on the spot, it must be indicated that idleness is totally different from taking rest. Everybody, because of activities, may get tired. Now, receiving some rest, taking some rest, okay, is essential in order to restore our energy and our attitude. However, idleness is totally different. Idleness comes from indifference. Indifference not to the fate of others, but indifference to our own fate. Yet we find that it's indicated that in everybody in his lifetime should spend considerable time. However much or less, it depends on the person, on his or her own connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with God. And in this way we find that successful people are really are those people who have some sort of religious faith. The sound of this religious faith is the most successful they become.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is the continuation of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We look at kinds of laziness. Religious laziness. This is laziness from acts of worship such as praying, fasting, reciting Quran. This is the source of all laziness, as those who are lazy from worshipping Allah, Allah will make them lazy in other aspects of their lives. These are the people that pray quickly, if at all, or recite little of Quran and remember Allah little. They are the last to enter to the mosque and the first to get out. No aspiration to improve their spirituality or get closer to Allah. Night prayer is not even on their wish list, and fasting only takes place in the month of Ramadan.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. My Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me
know the road is long. Make me strong.
Let's look at another tip to overcome laziness. This is motivation. In some cases, the reason for laziness is due to lack of motivation. You can strengthen your motivation through affirmations, visualization, and thinking about the importance of performing your task or chore or achieving your goal. Frequently reflecting on the person we want to be, the goals we want to achieve, and the life we want to live can motivate us to act. Another tip is doing one thing at a time. Dear brother and sister, focus on doing one thing at a time. If you feel you have a lot to do, you will probably feel overwhelmed and let laziness overcome you. Instead of you overcoming laziness.
My dear friends, a lazy person can never be successful. Never. Not in school, not in business, not at work, not in the community, not as a husband. Someone who's lazy cannot be a good husband. Someone who's lazy cannot be a good father. Someone who's lazy cannot be a good wife and not a good mother. Because they're lazy. They're not willing to work. They're not willing to do anything. A lazy person can never be successful in life. Have you ever seen a marja that came, a grand ayatollah for the Shia community who used to sleep for 12 hours a day? Have you seen a successful business person or a CEO that spends the night up watching Netflix or on social media and sleeps the entire day but becomes the CEO of Microsoft or Apple? Have you heard of this? It's not possible. It's not possible. You cannot be what you want to be if you continue being lazy. Whether you want to be a doctor or a businessman or a lawyer or a scholar or a professor or whatever it is that you want to be, you have to change this habit. Our youth, some of them, they're lazy when it comes to studying, when it comes to seeking knowledge, when it comes to seeking an education. They're not in the mood. They're just not up to it. Writing papers? No way. Studying for exams? No. Making commitments? Absolutely not. They're not up to it. Studying, knowledge, education is the first path to success. Wherever it is that you want to reach in life, it starts with studying, getting a proper education. Some youth, they're not willing. And this was a problem from the days of the Ahlul Bayt, if not even earlier. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam would say, I wish I could beat my companions to get them to study. Imam Sadiq is upset from the lazy Shia youth at his time for not taking the advantage of his presence to study, to seek knowledge. Not just religious education, even a secular education. Go out and study. But some are lazy. My dear youth, my dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You are blessed. You have an opportunity. You have the best opportunities. You have no excuses. Don't say, I'm an Arab or an Afghan or an Iranian, I'm a Muslim. There's no bias. Don't make excuses. Go out and apply to these universities and study. And by the way, bachelor's degrees are no longer enough. Maybe 10 years ago, it was enough to have a bachelor's degree. Today, it's not enough. Go out and get a master's. If you can go out and get a PhD, get a PhD. It's become accessible. If you have the energy, do it.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was another episode of today's special. Of course, we opened a new topic about laziness and Islamic viewpoint about it. So we continue, inshallah, on the next episode. I invite you to rejoin us again. Till then, have a nice time.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And
They showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.